You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast. It is Monday night, January 11th, 2016. I'm your host, Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell, here on the Raw Post Game Show. We're back live after missing last Monday's show, and we've got Championship Monday to discuss. Well, from a football perspective, but there was a title change on tonight's Raw. New U.S. champion, one of the top stories of tonight's show. Kalisto beat Alberto Del Rio on Raw tonight, and Del Rio gets a rematch very quickly this Thursday, tomorrow night, TV taping on SmackDown. So WWE is trying to amp up SmackDown a little bit. Also on tonight's show, there was a main event. I have no way to describe it because they had no way to describe it. It was Roman Reigns facing 25 guys. No, wait, he faced one person. I have no idea what they were going for structure-wise in tonight's main event. It ended, though, with Brock Lesnar beating up people, including Roman Reigns. So they had several non-finishes, a double count-out. Not a good wrestling night as far as presentation of wrestling, but the main event was a very long, long match that, you know, they opened it up and they teased you with, like, 17 matches were going to happen. They had a ton of heels at ringside, and Kevin Owens started off facing Roman Reigns, and they made it seem like it was going to be Reigns in like 17 matches, and the match with Owens just kept going and going and going, and Reigns kept selling and selling and selling forever, 3 hours into this long show, and then Vince McMahon just eventually just sent all the heels into the ring to beat up Roman Reigns. Made no sense, but the end of it with Brock Lesnar coming down to beat up everybody, including Reigns. And Reigns was left in the ring selling, and Lesnar left standing tall. So that's your big story going into the Royal Rumble in a couple weeks, is Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and how that's going to play out with basically a WWE title match in the middle of the Royal Rumble, I guess, with the title on the line. So all that's coverage, plus coverage of all the news of the day on our website, our main website, pwtorch.com. Or pwtorchvip.com if you're a VIP member. And we're going to go right to our opening segment here with Torch columnist Greg Parks. Kicking us off, Greg, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, James. I've got the end of the college football game on TV, so if you throw to me and I don't answer immediately or I have to ask you to repeat the question, that's why.
Understood. Tonight's football game, 7 times more compelling than tonight's Raw. I mean, it was just tonight. Greg, can you explain to me and to the listeners as well the main event? I mean, they came on the main event with Michael Cole saying, "I don't understand how this is going to work." And Vince McMahon is sitting there making it up as they go, and he sends Kevin Owens into the ring to face Reigns, and that was it. Like, yeah, like all these people ringside. And Greg, explain the main event as best you understood it.
Would that I could, James. But as I sit here, I'm still trying to wrap my head around what we saw. I didn't really understand going into it what we were going to see. Once the match got going, I thought, okay, Kevin Owens will hold his own with Reigns for about 10 minutes. Because Owens is pretty high on the heel totem pole. So they don't want to completely cruise through Owens. And then it'll be the next person, sort of, I guess, like a gauntlet match. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get your Tyler Breeze, Reigns will beat quickly, same with the Ascension, same with Stardust. And then something would happen where everybody hits the ring, and then Brock Lesnar comes out, something that sort of ended up happening anyway. But that didn't really happen. It was just sort of Owens versus Reigns and everybody standing at ringside. And, you know, you didn't want Reigns to blow through all of the heels because that sort of gives away the mystique and the draw for the Royal Rumble. Because the draw for the Rumble is, can Reigns survive 29 guys who are gunning for him in the WWE World title? Well, if he can easily dispatch basically the entire roster of heels, all of a sudden that task doesn't look so daunting. So I'm glad they didn't have him do that. But what they did have him do didn't really amount to anything. And by the end of that segment, you're kind of sitting back saying, what did I just see and what was the purpose of it?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it was. You're watching, you're like 15 minutes of the match, and you're like, okay, Obviously, they're not going to have a bunch of singles matches, the gauntlet style that they kind of advertised and what well, didn't advertise. They just kind of, I don't know. They just put people out there. They just tease a bunch of stuff. Okay, so these heels aren't going to have a match with Mr. Reigns here. Okay, we got that. And then it's like, okay, so if Reigns beats Owens, does that end it? Well, before the match started, Stephanie McMahon said that this match would continue on until Reigns was lifeless. So if Reigns were to win the match, as Cole suggested, the whole thing would just end if he won. Well, wouldn't you just send more heels into the ring when have a new match? I mean, it was just like the most.
I would assume that would be the option, yes.
Yeah, so it was like the most bizarre, unexplainable, inexplicable main event. I just none of it made any sense. But yeah, I mean, they got down to the bottom of, it's Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. So, Greg, you and I did moonlighting with Greg Parks, you VIP for VIP members over the weekend, and we talked about how the Royal Rumble, the chance of somebody winning was kind of like. In the past, it was maybe like 15 guys because as you pointed out, back in the day they had two titles, two major titles, and so you could see somebody winning and challenging for the lesser of the two major titles. And then when they went to one title, you're like, okay, maybe I could see 10 guys winning the Rumble and advancing to face the champion at WrestleMania. And then this year you're going into it, and when they put the title on the line, you're like, okay, maybe there's like five guys with a chance to win the Rumble. After tonight, Greg, I feel like there are two people have a chance of winning the Royal Rumble, either Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar, and you're gonna have some surprises. You'll have some, novelty guys come out and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, like 20 people are gonna come out in the Rumble in 2 weeks, and people are gonna say, "Eh, this guy has no chance winning this match." So I'm very curious how they try to make this year's Rumble work. And I throw this to you, Greg, because this is your favorite match. This is what you look forward to. Every year, and just from talking to you over the years of doing audio, is this is your favorite match, and I feel like they're watering it down by making it where there's only really two or three people who have a shot of even winning the thing.
Well, I think it's an interesting concept to do once. I think if you don't really have a real selling point beyond the Rumble match itself this year, I don't mind WWE trying something different with this year's Rumble. Does it narrow down the field of contenders? A little bit, but I still think there was a narrow field to begin with, especially this year when you've got so many injuries at the top and you've got so many mid-carders who have been defined as mid-carders and don't have a realistic chance of winning anyway. So I think, really, if there was ever a year to do it when you only had two or three real contenders anyway, this would be the year to do it. And we saw Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at the end of the show tonight, Lesnar giving Reigns the F5. Sort of possibly a look at something to come either at WrestleMania or prior to that at the Royal Rumble. And I'm sure, those are the two, James, that you had in mind of the really only two realistic options to win the Rumble. I think people watch the Rumble now too as much for the surprise returns or debuts or what's Kofi Kingston going to do this year to stave off elimination as much as they are for the unpredictable aspect of who's actually going to win, which is not really unpredictable, as we've pointed out. WWE likes to use that as a selling point, but realistically, it's not really unpredictable. So, Reigns or Lesnar, I think a lot of people are okay with those options. Now they can kind of sit back and say, okay, I know that there's only two real options, but I kind of enjoy watching the process unfold, watch the mini feuds that take place during the Rumble, see how other feuds are continued, see the returning stars, that sort of thing. So even if there are a few real options for winners, there are still enough aspects of the Royal Rumble to like heading into it anyway.
That's a good sales pitch, and the thing that WWE's got to, take that sales pitch and run with it. Because you're right on, Greg. I think there's that sense you've got to make the Rumble feel special, independent of the title stipulation. Because if that's the main focus, then yeah, it's like, well, there's nothing compelling. But yeah, you got to make it about sort of some of the subplot type items, and. Like you said, the Kofis and sort of the traditional things that we've seen through the years. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next Monday. I mean, next Monday is the last show before the Rumble. With the video package, probably the by the numbers type thing, and what else will they come up with to make it seem like there's some stuff to look out for in the Rumble? So, Greg, I think the other big story tonight, which I think no one would have had as a big story going in, was they actually pulled off a U.S. title change. They had Kalisto beat Del Rio for the title. I was very surprised by this until the announcers kind of gave it away at the end of the match when they did the old, Kalisto put up a good fight, and I guess Del Rio's better than him and all that. They kind of gave away the result that Kalisto was going to win. Greg, were you surprised that they went ahead and pulled off a big title change? And what do you think it means going forward for both Kalisto and Del Rio?
I was surprised. In fact, from my SmackDown report last Thursday that I cover each week in real time on PWTorch.com, I wrote that with Sin Cara out with injury, Kalisto could make a nice secondary title contender. Keyword being contender. I didn't really think they'd actually pull it off and have him win. Pleasantly surprised by it tonight. I think this is the sort of thing WWE has to do. Del Rio doesn't need the U.S. title. He's in the League of Nations, which is a main event heel group. He's got that aura of a former champion, a former highly pushed star. He doesn't need that secondary title. For somebody like Kalisto, who's still trying to gain traction as a singles attraction, I think this win, along with the non-title win on Thursday, will go a long way into making him seem like a serious threat, despite his stature. For fans to take seriously.
It's very much the Rey Mysterio presentation. It's the super underdog who doesn't belong, but he finds a way to win. And that's kind of what they're. It seems like they're kind of laying the groundwork for. Greg, you've got a big SmackDown to cover now all of a sudden, and it's that interesting thing of we talked about will they run out of big matches to put on SmackDown, and they are very quickly trying to go through as many as they can. I mean, they got a tables match. They got the U.S. title rematch on SmackDown. I go back to my point when we did Moonlighting over the weekend. I don't think they can maintain this pace, but Greg, they're going to try. They're going to, basically, these first 2 weeks, they're going to try. So at least it's out of the
God
gate, a
bless
good
them
run for
for it,
you.
yeah. Right. I mean, they've advertised three matches for SmackDown this week, which I don't remember. I can't remember the last time three matches were advertised ahead of time, at least in the time that I recap SmackDown, which will be going on my 10th year here coming up. That's more than we get for Raw most weeks. It's good, but I get the same feeling you have, James, that you just wonder how long it's going to last.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna have to start. I mean, really, it doesn't quite have a feel of a Nitro and a Thunder, but I mean, you go back in time and they would switch titles all the time on Nitro and then follow up on Thunder or vice versa. You look at the title history
Don't,
for those secondary
please don't
titles.
compare SmackDown to Thunder. That really hurts my heart.
We
Hopefully
will
we're not
try not
there
to go
yet.
there too
Hopefully we'll
often.
never be at that point.
Yes. That would not be good. Bring back Rick Steiner and buff the stuff,
That will solve all the problems.
Good stuff. Oh, Greg, I mean, there's some other like minor things unpacked from the show, and I'm gonna let you go here in a second. But what else jumped out of you from tonight's Raw? Either an individual feud or an overall sense you got about tonight's Raw. What stood out to you as maybe a third or fourth big story from tonight?
I think Becky Lynch had another very strong promo tonight, and she's quickly becoming head and shoulders above any of the other divas performance-wise on the main roster. She had a really good match with Charlotte on SmackDown this past week, and Charlotte's sort of been struggling a bit in the ring. So that's points for Becky Lynch. Her promos have been really solid, above and beyond what a lot of the other divas have produced. And being able to show a lot of fire today in attacking Charlotte, I think was a positive step for her character. I think, like I said, she's quickly vaulting over a lot of other divas and sort of forcing if not creative than the fans to take notice of her as a serious threat within the division.
Yeah, I thought she had a really good babyface promo backstage. You know, good fire. It was refreshing because, I mean, it seems like so much of this is just about Charlotte. And Becky was like the last babyface standing in the division, and they just kind of had to put her off opposite Charlotte to accentuate the heel turn. But yeah, all of a sudden, you know, she's found something with her character. So that's been refreshing. But I don't see her winning the title, but you know, at least it's made a very clear distinction between heel and face here. So that's good. Greg, give us any other discussion on VIP side, newsletter, upcoming audio, anything else you want to touch on before I let you go?
I just completed a column, sent it in for this upcoming week's newsletter. It's going to take a look at comparing the first episode of Impact on Pop TV with the first episode of SmackDown on USA Network. They both aired on the same week, just a couple days apart. So I kind of looked at both of them, see which had the better outing, which episode had material that bodes well for the future. And just sort of compared them in similar aspects of the show. That's what's coming up for my column in this coming week's Torch newsletter. And as you mentioned a few times, James, I had you on discussing those two shows on Moonlighting with Greg Parks this past weekend, now available for VIP members.
Very good. Of course, that's at pwtorchvip.com. You can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. And Greg, we'll talk again on the, I guess, the Royal Rumble Pulse Game show in a couple of weeks. So that should be really fascinating to break down in 2 weeks.
I look forward to it, James.
All right, very good. That is Torch columnist Greg Parks. And we'll be right back with your phone calls after this quick word from our sponsor. And a reminder, you can call us up here while we're on break, 646 646- 721-9828, and we'll be right back after this.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Cheap Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must-listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
All right, let's grab some phone calls here, 646-721-9828, or you can email us at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Let's kick off with the 478 area code. Welcome to show 478. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
How you doing, James?
What's going on tonight?
Nothing, just watching Bama clinch the game.
I don't think
that,
I don't think it's
so
over.
Good,
throughout. This feels like a replay of Texas USC 10 years ago. But
it just took a 95-yard kickoff back to the house. I think it's over with their defense.
I don't think it is. I'm gonna give Pat McNeil's Clemson Tigers a shot to come back. I'm gonna give them a shot, but I know what you're talking about. What's on your mind tonight, Drew?
Okay, I just need some help understanding. Can we get an end to the heel authority when you talk down to the beast and tell him you own his contract? He gotta be in the Rumble. I just like that. Just kills the mystique. You trying to kill the mystique of the beast, or trying to ruin everybody's time on the Rumble? I don't understand that. Big ups to Becky Lynch for a great promo, a great segment, and I like the promo from Charlotte before the match too. To set differences in between heels and faces. And why did they have that main event? I don't understand. Is it because you're afraid to book out for your champ who all he does is sell all day. And I guess he still hasn't improved with anything else when all you allow him to do is sell all day. He can't talk on the mic, don't have any wrestling skills. Except he say he's strong style because he kick and he punch. I don't think he know what the strong style is. Mm. I just don't understand. So can you help me understand today's wrestling? This is just going down the drain.
Yeah, I'm going to punt on the main event. I mean, I know what they're trying to accomplish. They're trying to make it seem like Roman Reigns has, you know, 0% chance of winning the Royal Rumble in 2 weeks. I get all that. The main event, structurally wise, made zero sense. They didn't execute it. I mean, it was a Brian Hoyer moment. I gotta put my Texans on blast here after our performance on Saturday. I mean, the main event setup was as bad as Brian Hoyer on Saturday for the Texans quarterback. I have no idea what they're trying to do with that, as far as a match goes. But you're right about the thing about Brock. I know they try to have it be like Paul Heyman was the one who was sort of talked down to by Stephanie, so it wasn't Brock who was talked down to. But Brock's an interesting character in the sense that sometimes he comes back and he's a heel, and sometimes he comes back and he's a face. Sometimes he just comes back and he's Brock, and like. Tonight was all of that. There was Brock not wanting to be in the Rumble. Then there was Brock taking out all the heels. And then there was Brock taking out Roman Reigns. And it's like, I don't think they know how to book or present Brock on a consistent basis. It's very frustrating to watch because, as you said, they had Brock get talked down to via Heyman. And then later on they had him come out and be the Destroyer. So I just don't know... if they know how they want to present Brock. And like you said, it all goes through the umbrella of the authority figures and the authority. And it's just, I'm with you. I think that group, the faction, the heels, they have done so much damage to this product that I think too much damage has been done to the overall roster and the presentation of the show, you know? And I think that, you bring back Brock and you drop him in this environment, he's going to get sucked up into the abyss of the current product and its state. And, you know, Stephanie and Vince, you know, running down people or castrating people and characters and then having a main event that didn't make any sense tonight. So, yeah, I mean, like, nobody is immune, you know, Brock, anybody, to this current creative. And the way the TV show is structured with McMahon and previously Hunter and Stephanie on top. So, and I thought Becky was a highlight, as you talked about, Adrell. So, I just don't trust them to follow through, because I think this is more about identifying Charlotte as a heel and having a strong babyface opposite, which should be the opposite. It should be having a strong heel to then set up the babyface for a, you know, glory of conquering the heel. But this just seems more like they're... they're establishing a clear baby face to be opposite Charlotte to elevate Charlotte, the heel. Go figure. WWE creative in 2016. I'm with you. There are overall issues with the product right now, mainly via the authority figures. Darrell, appreciate the call. Good kickoff. Let's go next to the 281 area code. My good friend James out of Houston. We both saw Brock Lesnar on Friday night at a house show at Toyota Center. And then Brock and Sheamus kind of picked it back up again a little bit in the main event segment of tonight's show. James, how are you doing tonight?
I have recovered from a roller coaster of a weekend. How are you doing, bud?
A lot of sports, a lot of wrestling, a lot of stuff going on. Man, it's been a wild ride since Friday. James, what's on your mind tonight?
I have two things. The first thing I would like to talk about is that Chris Jericho segment.
Mm. Haven't talked about it yet, so go for it.
I have been a fan of Chris Jericho for a while. I have been a fan of his as long as I can remember. It's just his stuff just seems so dated now. Mm. I mean, I want to try and like it, but I don't even want to say that three word phrase that they're trying to get over.
IHOP, we'll go IHOP. Like, code word IHOP.
So I don't know what's going on. My first comment or question or whatever is just what did you think of the Chris Jericho segment, and do you think that his character has gotten stale, or you know he has refreshed it too much and now he's just out of ideas on how to refresh it more? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that I don't want to say he just kind of came back to, you know, get some money and have a run and be back on TV and be in the Rumble and maybe be part of WrestleMania, but this material feels very stale. It feels like they just don't know what to do with Jericho, and Jericho doesn't seem to know what to do in this environment. Like he showed up. I mean, like, you think about it, and he's talked in so many times in the past interviews about how he just wants to do the house shows. And I think we're seeing why, because the material that he's been given these first 2 weeks back is dreadful. And he seems very uninspired, like he does not want to be part of this, whatever this creative is at the moment. And, you know, he did the Dated 1999 promo last Monday on Raw. He did the... just the self-indulgent look at my timeline Twitter promo tonight, and then was ringside for the Usos against New Day. I mean, he came back for this. You know, it's I don't understand what's going on here. You know, with this, but all I know is that this is not working, and this is not good material. You know, and I don't know if it's Jericho's not motivated, or he just kind of came back to be part of the Rumble, and they had to give him something to do, but. I don't know who to blame, but Jericho does not seem to be motivated or inspired by the content, and I don't blame him if this is mainly a creative issue because the material is not good. So James, yeah, I think this is really hurting Jericho, and I think that he will end up back on the house shows, and probably be willing to go back to just doing house shows because I don't think he wants to deal with the TV writing at its current state. But it's not good. Whoever's fault it is, it's not good. These first 2 weeks. James, what else on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I just want to add real quickly on that. It's funny that you mentioned that because on the house show that we attended to against Alberto Del Rio, it just felt like that him, because it also, it's another thing with another promo, Del Rio's promo also was kind of very blah tonight too. But when we saw them on the house show on Friday, I guess I don't know if it's because there wasn't any cameras on or whatever. They just seemed more loose, and
yep. It
just seemed that they had more fun and everything. Like, because that Jericho on Friday was a totally different Jericho that we saw tonight. So it's just very, very strange. The second thing, and I wanted to ask you about this on Friday, so I didn't, so I'm going to ask you about it now.
Sure.
With all the injuries that have been happening, do you think that this may be kind of a wake-up call for Vince to finally have to try and establish the plan B of superstars to push or to have, you know, ready on deck just in case if John Cena does get injured? Or do you think they're just, again, have the Band-Aid solution and they're just going to keep on trucking until Cena comes back up? That's all I have. Have a good night, and see you next week.
All right. Thanks for calling, James. Good to talk to you. It feels very much like a Band-Aid approach, and I think goes back to the current creative environment, which is set in motion by McMahon and company, is not healthy. And they, you know, they cashed in all the chips with Hunter and McMahon at TLC and around there, and now they're having Reigns go up against the McMahons and trying to do a Stone Cold thing, but Reigns is not Stone Cold, nor does he seem to be capable of being at that level. Again, it's a different environment, it's a different era, I get that, but as far as personality and magnetism and draw and appeal and fire, Reigns does not have it at this level. He really is the king of the mid-carders, and so I think to me, the problem is, James, they've got a ton of mid-carders, and they don't have a lot of big stars. They brought back Brock, and as Darrell and I talked about, they quickly knocked down Brock. They brought back Jericho and dumped him into a mid-card feud. And as you said, Jericho was very loose on the house show on Friday. They were doing a bit with Del Rio. It was like a fun bit. It was a good way to kick off the show, and it doesn't seem like Jericho was having fun in this role. Other than, you know, maybe he's having fun doing the Rudy Tootie IHOP deal. because, you know, what are you going to do? But I just think that they've got a mid-card roster. They've got injuries to the top stars. They have not developed stars to replace the injured guys. And they're struggling to find a way to kind of patch it together in a three-hour Raw environment. I mean, this show had some long matches that had no business being long matches. It was a rough in-ring night, other than Del Rio Kalisto, which turned into a pretty good title match. But as far as in-ring goes tonight, it was pretty rough. They don't have a roster to support 3 hours, and that's why I wrote my column overnight, is that they're going to have to do something drastic. I think it's going to have to be a big angle in the Royal Rumble, which would, you know, kind of force McMahon's hand, a big angle, whether it is involving the Bullet Club, the Bower Club, you know, the New Japan signees, whomever it is. I think there's got to be a big angle that happens. Because they just don't have the firepower. They don't have the stars, and the stars they do have are too injured. So they don't have the firepower to pull off 3 hour Raws going to WrestleMania season. So I think they've got to come up with a big angle that sets them up for something to be successful down the road. Otherwise, it's going to be a struggle like it was tonight. James, appreciate the phone call. Good to talk to you. And let's go next to the 916 area code. Welcome to show 916. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Kermit from Sacramento. How are you doing?
Hey, doing good. What's on your mind tonight?
First time calling into this show. I finally got Red TV so I can see it on the East Coast time, so that's fun.
Awesome. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like the show. I'm not going to lie. I thought everybody had purpose for the most part.
Okay.
I thought, you know, I mean, the last segment wasn't that great, but, I mean, for the most part, I thought everybody had purpose. I kind of disagree about the whole Jericho thing. I mean, I've heard his podcast before. I'm pretty sure – I've heard actually the New Day on his podcast. I'm pretty sure he, like, wanted to work with them just to kind of have fun and stuff. So I think maybe he was just having fun. I know he probably sounds dated sometimes, but that's just kind of the charm of Chris Jericho. You know, he likes to make those old references.
And so, I think that's a problem. I think I'll come right back to you. I think some of the charm is gone with Jericho. You know, I think that if that's his material that he's, you know, that he's kind of having input on, I think that the charm is gone, and I think the mystique is gone. It just kind of feels it doesn't fit to me. It doesn't fit today's audience. Today's audience is very much a casual audience that, you know, sees Jericho. Hey, star coming in. What do you have to offer? Well, I'm not really attached to this material. So, you know what I mean? It just sort of seems like maybe it's not the right fit for this era, because I mean, I think the audience has been pretty quiet during his first two return promos. So, otherwise, yeah, if it was a different era, maybe we'd be able to pull it off. But I'm not sure if it's the right era for this kind of material. But go ahead with your follow-up on Jericho.
Okay. No, I get you. I understand that. Actually, no, I had a question. It was something interesting I saw.
Sure.
And this is usually kind of the case. So they're inducting Sting into the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
and then John Cena goes out with the injury.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they may consider a Sting versus Undertaker match, maybe like a retirement versus retirement? I mean, that would be pretty interesting.
I think they have to consider it now. You know, it seems like the night after last year's WrestleMania, there was the photo of Sting and Taker at the airport, and people were like, oh, wow, you know, WrestleMania 32. And then as the year progressed, you know, it just seemed, okay, it's not going to happen. And then Sting has the really bad neck injury situation at Night of Champions, also here in Houston in September. They've got 3 months to figure out if Sting can – well, actually, no, they have about a month because they'd have to start hyping it in February. They've got about a month to figure out if Sting can go in April, on April 3rd. And otherwise, I mean, Taker is getting up in a match with, like, one of the Wyatts, you know? You know what I mean? So I don't know what they can do with Sting and Taker besides, you know, like you said, with Cena going down, I thought Cena-Taker would have been the match to do. With him going down, I don't know where that leaves Taker other than with, you know, a Wyatt henchman or something like that. So, I'll be very curious to see, A, if Sting wrestles again in WWE, which might not ever happen, and B, who Taker ends up facing. You know, Taker, Taker Sting sounds like a pretty good main event, or at least a headline match to help out. But I just don't know if Sting will be cleared again, you know, with the whole neck situation from Nia Champion. So, otherwise, I'm right there with you. They would have had to have probably gone back that route of thinking about that matchup as a big headline match for WrestleMania. Now, you know, I don't know. I don't know what they'll end up doing with Taker and if Sting will end up wrestling. So, we shall see. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in. Always good to have good first-time callers on the show. And let's keep going with some more phone calls. Next up is the 305 area code. Welcome to show 305. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ, what's your mind tonight?
I got two quick questions. But the first thing is, I was going to ask you real quick, what did you think of the new announcer for SmackDown?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I thought Mauro was really good. I think he's a breath of fresh air for a, you know, SmackDown becomes stale. He's passionate about what he's calling. He calls matches. I don't know how he would handle tonight's Raw with a bunch of non-finishes on the show tonight, but I thought overall that on SmackDown, he did a really good job. He made the show feel fresh, and he also had passion about what he was calling, so I thought that was good. Maybe he could make Raw sound better, but I think he's just kind of fine just sticking to SmackDown for now. So that's kind of how I feel. I thought Mauro was good. I thought it was a good addition to SmackDown. Go ahead, DJ.
All right, yeah, I got two quick questions. My first thing is, I guess I'll do the long one first. I feel like the Royal Rumble, I feel like the Triple H is going to do something, and it's going to be a no DQ, and then the belt's going to be vacant because they can't throw Brock under the bus, and Roman can't win the WrestleMania, and then the Royal Rumble, and then go off to WrestleMania and beat him WrestleMania after he beat The Undertaker and throw him under the bus twice. I feel like something's going to happen because I think the belt's going to be vacant or something until, you know, maybe the WrestleMania, then they'll go at it because I don't see them, you know, throwing him under the bus twice. And that's my first thing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, I think that as much as I don't think they should do this, I think Reigns is going to win again. And I think Reigns will win the Rumble for the second year in a row. And they'll go, and then they'll actually have the Reigns-Brock Lesnar match at WrestleMania. Now, they could have Brock win and then have Reigns get the rematch and then have Reigns win the title from Brock at WrestleMania. Then, you know, they might go that route. But I don't think they're going to start hot potatoing the title with Reigns. It'd be very tempting to have that and have Brock be the champion going into WrestleMania and then have Reigns win the title from Brock and kind of complete the redemption deal for Reigns. Triple H is intriguing. You know, he's been on the sidelines. Will he be in the Rumble? Will he, you know, win the Rumble? Will he, you know, be the champion going to WrestleMania? The only three options, and I said two at the top, and I said two or three. That third one is Triple H. I think it's got to be the Reigns. You know, it's Reigns, Brock, or Triple H. Those are the options to win the Rumble. You know, I don't see anybody else that has any chance at it. So it's going to make for a very fascinating Royal Rumble match, you know. But, yeah, DJ, there's a lot of scenarios you can kind of play with because the title is on the line. But I'm going to go with Reigns retains by winning the Rumble. That's kind of my feeling about it. You know, that's kind of my feeling about it. But, DJ, your last point or question?
Yeah, my last thing is real quick. Randy Orton, I know he's going to come back.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I do like because I liked the match last time. Maybe I hope maybe him and Taker can go at it one more time because that was a great match when they did go at it. And I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's another option. Yeah. They might have to go back to that well. You know, it's a very distinct possibility they go back to that well. You know, I mean, everything's changed now with Cena being injured. You know, it's a fascinating time for WWE going to WrestleMania season where they've got so many people injured, and like you said, Orton's in the mix, and how does he factor in, all kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But as long as nobody else gets injured, you know what I mean? They can't have any more injuries, otherwise they'll be in trouble. So, DJ, appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to another phone call. Next up is the 480 area code. Welcome to show 480. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
How are you doing today? John from Arizona.
Hey, John, what's your mind tonight?
I got just two questions here for you. One, what do you think of the Social Outcast? And second, how long do you think Kalista's title reign is going to last for?
Great questions. I'm going to give Kalisto a month and a half. I think he'll hold it until like Fastlane and drop the title of Fastlane. Just because it felt like, you know, it felt like such a quick switch to him as champion. You know, they had him beat Del Rio on SmackDown, and now he's the champion, you know, a week later. So it just kind of feels like a quick switch, and those usually don't last very long. So I mean, they might surprise us and have Kalisto hold the belt for a lot longer. You know, he might hold the belt for past WrestleMania, but I'm going to give it until Fastlane. I'm going to give it a month, or maybe like a March Raw, like the middle of March. He'll lose the title in the middle of March, and then have a rematch at WrestleMania. But I don't know. Just these quick turnarounds just don't last that long usually. Social Outcast, I think, is a disaster of a group. Might be overstating because, you know, they're a bunch of mid-carders who aren't doing anything. So, but, you know, they have the wrong tone. They've got Slater doing the goofball rock star. They got Curtis Axel doing the, doing the ridiculously over-the-top mean voice. They've got Adam Rose doing the soft, soft sort of squirmy heel voice. And they've got Bo Dallas doing the goofball, fake inspirational sports figure. You know, it just it doesn't fit. You know, it's just four random superstars guys who came together. You know, it just I you know, it's something for them to do, and it's, you know, I don't think it generates any heat. I don't think it generates any sort of interesting developments going forward. You know, I just think it's a really soft, weak storyline that they just don't know what to do with these four guys. And. And they're just trying to figure out what to do with four guys on the roster. So, I don't think it's very good. You know, I just I think it's really bad television, in my opinion, so far. I hope it improves, though, for the sake of those four guys. I hope it improves. You know, I hope it does. John, appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you. Let's go to our next caller, and next up is the 813 area code. Welcome to show 813. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, Jay from Tampa, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good tonight, Jay. What's your mind tonight?
Just two quick things. The first one, just to piggyback a little bit, since he asked about Kalisto.
Mm-hmm.
I would just not think of so much of how long, but like after Alberto Del Rio, I'm trying to think of other, I guess, heels that he could even face at this point. I mean, because you have to go with somebody that's going to be willing to lose to a guy of that size, so... You know, I don't know who they would have to just have him, you know, beat people back to back like that. But I have another idea of somewhat of a fantasy booking. I don't know what their intentions are with Cody Rhodes at the moment, but what do you think about instead of them doing like the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, that they have maybe a Dusty Rhodes Battle Royal? And let it come down to the final two of Cody and Goldust, and maybe let Gold pass that torch over to Cody. I think he could get at least one good babyface run out of him. If not, I think he just needs to go away at this point.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think they're kind of locked into the Andre Battle Royal idea. You know, that's kind of, you know, Seth Man has an affinity for Andre, and they like to have the Battle Royal, kind of the Money in the Bank, that, you know, that guaranteed match every year. How they used to have Money in the Bank, and now it's the Andre Battle Royal. I think they like kind of have that. I think they like that concept, and so I think that they'll kind of keep it there with that. But I like your idea of I mean, they kind of did something at NXT where they had the Dusty Rhodes Memorial Tag Team Tournament, and that could have been a way to kind of have that torch pass. But obviously, that's on a smaller scale, but. You know, I mean, they could have brought it. They could have brought it to main television or something like that, but or at least had some sort of reference to it on main television. I just think that with Cody and Goldust. Goldust seems kind of in and out of television, and Stardust. You know, I don't know if they're gonna do something with him and Titus now that they had Stardust, you know, fight back against Titus. But I'm with you. I sure hope they have something for Stardust. Because he just sort of seems lost as a character right now. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know what else they can do with him outside of changing the gimmick. But as far as Kalisto goes, yeah, you mentioned Stardust, and he might be a good opponent for Kalisto in the U.S. title picture. You know, that might be a reasonably good feud, is to have Kalisto and Stardust have some good matches. You know, I mean, it's like you said, you got to have a heel who can actually take a loss, and heck, you know, that shows as good as anybody, a Stardust, to, you know, have some good matches. Obviously, it hasn't much credibility, but if they built up Stardust with Titus in this program, and then had Stardust, you know, face Kalisto, they could have some good matches and have some reasonably good title matches, and then Cody could lose, and it wouldn't be that big of a deal because they weren't doing anything with him beforehand anyway. So, other than that, I'm trying to think of the guys on the Raw, like the guys who are ringside during the main event. You know, you could have Tyler Breeze. You know, you could have Breeze and Kalisto have a U.S. title feud. The problem, though, is that then you start bringing the U.S. title down to where it was before Cena came along. You know, when Cena elevated the U.S. title with the open challenge, he had brought the U.S. title back up to a certain level. And Del Rio, you know, if Cena brought the title up to an 8, it kind of fell back to a 7 or a 6 with Del Rio. They didn't have him to defend the title against anybody. I mean, I think Kalisto was one of his only title defenses of his reign, other than Cena for the return match. So, I wonder if they had Kalisto and Stardust, or Kalisto and Tyler Breeze, if that would bring the U.S. title back down to where it was before Cena. Just because there's no foundation to build on. So, but then, like you said, you want to have somebody like Rusev lose to Kalisto, or Sheamus, or Del Rio again, you know, beyond the rematch on SmackDown. So they're kind of in a hard spot with Kalisto as the U.S. champion. You know, it's a really tough spot for him to be in. And how do you keep the U.S. title elevated? You know, that's a big question mark. So I don't know. Jay, great questions. Appreciate the phone call. It's good to talk to you. And let's continue on, and let's get another phone call. Next up, let's go to the 773 area code. 773, please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Boris from Chicago.
Boris, what's going on tonight?
My first thing, because I do want to, and you know I want to go and get your take on Wrestle Kingdom 10, but let me just start off with the little WWE thing here. I think tonight we saw a little more exposure that Roman Reigns really ain't ready. And they just so behind him because that was almost, 7 or 8 minutes of real wrestling? And
oh, I thought you were saying him selling.
Carrying that.
It was like selling
the
record.
Oh, my God. And he went over in that corner again and fell asleep over there on that apron side. I think that's what Vince laid out at. And he was over there. You looked over there where Brock was tossing there, but I was like, Roman Reigns need to wake up. But he was over in that corner selling it like big man over there. I was like,
he was taking the Royal Rumble nap, you know. He was taking that big nap.
Yeah. But let's get on to some real storytelling. The three matches. Ishii's match, oh, my God, that dude is – these guys have something special, even if some of them may come over here and lose that. I like the Ishii match, the story they told, that heavy hitting style. I was like, oh my God, these dudes are headbutting each other. Mm-hmm. But it was brutal, but it was like, it's something, I don't know what it is about Ishii that I really like. You know, it's just something about him. I don't feel he's an underdog. I feel he just fights with heart, the real heart. And of course, the AJ Styles and Nakamura match was awesome. And I want your take on the last match when, like, they was telling the story about him. I was just holding – I saw he hold his arm. I was like, this dude is not letting go. It's just the special things they did that night that will carry on all this year. I will always reflect back until they do another special match like that. Your take on Wrestle Kingdom if you've got a chance to – opportunity to watch it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to cover that live at 4 in the morning. You know, it was much must-watch television. And, yeah, Ishii is just a bad man. You know, he's just a bad man. You know, he's a hard-hitting physical. He's what Roman Reigns could be. Ishii's got a certain charisma of punishing style that Roman Reigns could be. I mean, Ishii's a lot shorter than Reigns. Ishii's probably about 5 inches shorter, but Ishii's just, he's like a linebacker who, you know, like a 5'11 linebacker, and he just punishes you. And then Shibata, his opponent at Wrestle Kingdom, is like, you know, a smaller dude, but his strikes are, he's like Daniel Bryan. The strikes are so believable. And you put those two guys together, and they just beat the tar out of each other, you know. And that was a memorable match at Wrestle Kingdom, and they just have a certain in-ring charisma that Reigns does not have. And I thought tonight was a big step backwards for Reigns. He wasn't put in a good position. He had to sell forever in a main event of a match at the end of a show that had gone on forever, with just a lot of matches that, you know, were thrown out there and went too long and didn't have a reason to exist. As far as developing something, you know, why was Chris Jericho with the Usos? You know, that tag match went on forever. Down, you know, with him down ringside. So, there's a certain charisma that the New Japan stars have in a wrestling ring, and part of it is the environment. The environment is conducive to really great wrestling. And right now, Raw and WWE TV is not conducive to that. The environment is not a good environment for wrestling. Save for the occasional match where two guys just go out there and have a good match and forget the storylines, forget the authority, and they just go out there and have a good match. But, yeah, Roman Reigns taking a nap in the corner tonight, selling forever in the main event. I mean, that's not what you want from your top star, for him to be just sort of lost in the shuffle of Vince and Stephanie and Owens and all these heels at ringside. And when is Brock going to come out there and, you know, it kind of exposed Reigns' weaknesses in the ring right now. And, yeah, I'm with you, Boris. New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom 10 was an amazing show. I might need to go back and watch it to cleanse the palate. especially Ishii Shibata. I might just have to go back and watch that. Just to cleanse the palate after tonight's wrestling on tonight's Raw. There was some good stuff on tonight's Raw. You know, Ambrose and Owens, their feud was great. Kalisto and Del Rio had a good title match. The rest of the show was pretty much just skippable or maddening, one or the other. Appreciate the call, Boris. And thanks for checking in. Good to talk to you as always. Let's go to our next caller. Next up, 347 area code. Welcome to the show, 347. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
I'm sorry, Jonathan from New York.
Hey, Jonathan, what's your mind tonight?
Okay, I got a few things. I'm getting bored of every time that I see either Kevin Owens fighting or Dean Ambrose, one of them always running after each other. Mm. I mean, make it like one time, like you know, this is like, you know, remember like when Cena and JBL had the feud, like they signed a contract, like they could have touched each other to make it like more believable.
Oh, that's a good step, yeah.
They could do something like that. And also that last match between Reigns and Owens, I think it took forever. But then it goes back to, okay, where were the baby faces when everybody got into a ring to attack Reigns? Mm-hmm. Like, were they like in a cage hold or something, or what's going on with that?
And that's the missing piece of the story is. And they put themselves in a spot where they're, you know, it's a catch-22. If they have that item where they have banned the baby faces from ringside, then it makes all the baby faces look like wussies for not going out there and doing the right thing and cowering at the feet of the authority. Or if you don't draw attention to that, then it's like what you said, then you're asking yourself, where are all the baby faces that come down and help out? The McMahons did not say that the baby faces are banned from ringside. In fact, at the top of the show, there were baby faces on the stage with all the heels who are told, like Dolph Ziggler, hey, you're in the Rumble. Make sure you take out Roman Reigns. Why can't the baby faces then say, hey, okay, they gave us a shot here. I'm going to turn it against them. I'm going to say, hey, you want me in the Rumble? I'm going to come down, and instead of doing your wishes, I'm going to help out Roman Reigns. You know, and turn the tables on the heels. But here we are in today's current WWE environment where the baby faces have been castrated by the authority figures. And so the only person who came down to do anything was Brock Lesnar. And we have no idea what side he's on. He's just out for himself, you know what I mean? But he was kind of taken down a peg, as we talked about earlier, by Stephanie running down Paul Heyman. Heyman, an agent for Brock Lesnar. And forcing Heyman to back down from his and Brock's wishes. So, I mean, it's just like they don't see it or they don't care. And I don't know which is worse. Because it's like you said, John, we're the babyfaces to help. There was not an item on this show that said babyfaces were banned from ringside during that main event. All it was is McMahon and Stephanie went backstage. They picked a bunch of heels. They brought them down to the ringside. There was no XYZ wrestlers are banned from ringside. And in fact, at the top of the show, they encouraged a babyface, namely Dolph Ziggler, to do something and go grab a brass ring. You know, by winning the Royal Rumble. Yes, it was the idea that everybody should eliminate Roman Reigns. We get that. But there was no every babyface is banned from this match. So where are they? That's a great point. That's a great point, Jonathan. And it gets to they just don't pay attention. They just don't care. And it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, then that's the situation they're in right now creatively. I like what you said there about having Dean and Kevin's feud escalate so far that somebody has to step in, and I guess it would be an authority figure, who are too busy, you know, with themselves. But if this was a situation where an authority figure was paying attention, that person would come in and say, hey, this has gone out of hand. You're going to have a match in a Intercontinental title at Royal Rumble. Now that we have a week left until the pay-per-view, so it would have been good to implement it this week, which would have then carried over to this week into the next week. But, you know, to have a one-week stipulation where you can't touch each other until the Rumble, it might work for one show, but it doesn't really carry a lot of weight to it because it's not over a period of time. And then you have the combustible elements happen on the very last Raw before the Royal Rumble. So this would have been the week to do that. So you're right on, Jonathan. That would have been a good stipulation to add this week, and then have them break apart next week. Otherwise, yeah, I think that, you know, kind of get to that point where they're too dangerous. We've got to put a stipulation where if you touch each other, Dean, you would lose the title. Owens, you would lose your title shot, and have that stipulation be added in the no touching rule. So. Jonathan, appreciate the call. Two good thoughts there. That's some good stuff to think about and talk about. Appreciate your call, and we'll talk to you next week. Let's go next to the 630 area code. Welcome to show 630. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
This is James from Chicago.
Hey, James, what's going on tonight?
I got a couple things. Basically, looking forward to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And just seeing what we have to look at. Like, John Cena's gone. Seth Rollins gone. We just got The Rock, but I don't know if he's going to be able to wrestle.
Uh-huh.
It's just right now the stellar lineup in Cowboy Stadium, it's not looking like wow.
Right.
And then it's even worse. I'd rather see NXT on a pay-per-view. Or I'll pay for NXT to see it because it's right now I don't see any type of investment in, you know, watching Raw right now.
Right.
You know, because they're not building anybody, you know. Only one I see they really probably might be building is Kevin Owens. They're trying to build Roman Reigns, but nobody's catching it. You know, it's just only one I see that's legitimate is Kevin Owens. Everybody else to me is just like, they're in the water drowning. You know, it's just, it's nothing there. And then you have Dolph Ziggler. I love Dolph Ziggler. I think Dolph Ziggler could be the next Shawn Michaels. He just won't get the chance.
Mm.
You know, it's a lot. And I don't want nobody from NXT to come up to the main roster because it's just to be like Finn Balor. I don't want him to come up because I think he'd just die.
Mm.
Like, what was the other guy that he was a champion? And he came up there. His name is not
Neville?
Coming to me. But Neville, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, them guys, they're very talented. But when they get to Raw, they drown. Mm. It's like the guys that can wrestle, like Cody Rhodes. These guys can wrestle. But they drown in the format of McMahon syndrome.
Mm.
And I don't want nothing to happen to Mr. McMahon. I don't. But he needs to retire quick. Because I think Triple H, NXT is taken off by Triple H's vision. And that's the truth of the matter. He has a vision that catches our eye. And, like, I think this show, the Torch, we know wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going to keep selling because of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the little ones. They're not looking at the schemes. They're not looking at the baby faces. They're not looking at, you know, the heels.
Structures.
They're just there
yeah.
to see John Cena. You know. But we look at it. We are the people that really put y'all there when you really look at it. Because we're invested. We're adults. We're invested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be kind of hard for me to get invested. I really, for the Royal Rumble, I mean, after the Royal Rumble, what do you have? Like, okay, Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose. After that, what we have? It's kind of scary, man. It's kind of scary. That's all I have to say. It's kind of scary to see the vision that McMahon has right now. And a lot of it is pride.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it is pride.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he has to find some type of way, like, get in contact with you guys. Get in contact with Jim Ross. Get in contact with these guys that knows wrestling and suggestion box ideas. You guys got to get something, because right now, after the real, because you still need The Rock to headline WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You still need Stone Cold to do podcasts, which I don't mind. I love seeing it.
Right.
But you still need them. You know, who's the next one in line? There's nobody's next in line. Jericho felt like he was out there just. I'm just here.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy, Tootie, Fru, Candy. You know, come on, man. It's just, you know, and it's a shame. These guys, they put you on the map, but you can't really see what's the future of the WWE. And SmackDown, I like the new broadcaster, but it's not going nowhere. You could put it on USA. You could put it on NBC. It's not going nowhere. We've got good writers, man. It's not going nowhere.
Yeah.
But thanks for the call, though. Thank you.
Yeah, James, it's not a good environment. And like you said, pride's a good word. There's a stubbornness. McMahon's mindset is that he's the best writer in the room, and he has the best wrestling mind in the room. And he probably does have the best wrestling mind in the room, because he's been around the longest, and he's seen the ups and the downs of wrestling for 40 years. He's not a writer, though. He doesn't know how to run a show. He's a promoter, and he wants to be more than a promoter, but his mindset is a promoter mindset. And so when you're trying to talk about structure of writing and storylines and characters and seeing a story to the end, he has no concept of that. He lives off the adrenaline rush of rewriting Raw right before the show starts. I'm gonna be very curious to find out how many times he rewrote the main event. Because whatever came out of the factory machine was a big pile of turd. I mean, it was bad. You know, I mean, it felt like a main... And like, the verbiage they used, it seemed like it changed throughout the show to describe the main... I mean, I know they stuck with the one versus all marketing, but what that actually entailed and meant seemed like it changed 4 times during the show. You know, so it was just... I mean, that main event just cracks me up when I think about it. The marketing, the lack of structure, Reigns taking the nap, the Rumble nap, the selling just went on forever, the jobber heels at ringside. It was but yeah, they're going to have to do something big starting at the Rumble. I wrote about it. Maybe it's a Bauer Club, Finn Bauer invasion, NXT invasion. I don't know if I trust them to make that special going into WrestleMania. You know, it's that thing, you know, where they've got to keep it special for 3 months. I guess February, March, so 2 months. I don't know if they can keep something like that special for 2 months going to Mania. Maybe they can. Because they just have, you know, here's a limited window. We just have to keep it special for 2 months to sell tickets to WrestleMania. What's happened in NXT, we'll build off NXT. We'll use the equity in NXT that we've established over the last year. and we'll put something big in that has an NXT tie-in at WrestleMania. I think they've got to do that because Stone Cold's not wrestling. I would be surprised if Rock wrestles again. You know, do they go to the Hulk Hogan card? Do they dare bring him back after last year's terrible PR and the terrible character revelations? Do they Taker and Sting? Taker's gonna face somebody. Who is Brock? I mean, like, it's they've got to come up with something big because, yeah, you can sell Mania and you can sell Cowboy Stadium. But that's only going to get you so many tickets sold. You know, if you want to get over the top, you've got to do something bigger. And right now, you know, they don't have it right now. So obviously the Rumble's big. Rumble's a big moment. But overall, I'm with you, James. There are major top line issues with the people in charge that have to be addressed. And until they are, we're going to keep seeing the same cycle repeated of desperation heaves at WrestleMania season, a big low period, bring back a big star for SummerSlam, hope that helps go in the fall, get kicked, you know, have your butt kicked by a football in the fall and try to rebuild it all over again in January. They've got to come up with a different formula for 3-hour Raws, and they have not shown a desire to do so. There's, like you said, the stubbornness and the pride is very, very, very prevalent for Vince McMahon right now. Very prevalent. Appreciate the call, James. Let's go to the 434 area code. Welcome to show 434. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Keith from Virginia.
Hey, Keith. Good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
I had a couple of questions. Tonight on Raw, you had Vince say one of these 30 men on the stage would be the new world champion. Mm-hmm. So does that mean there are no surprise entries in the Royal Rumble? Is it just one of those guys?
I think there will be surprise entries. I think that McMahon, they're trying to hammer home the visual point of, you know, this sea of humanity is opposite Roman Reigns, and he has to face... like somebody like Tyler Breeze, probably he might be in the Rumble, but somebody like Connor the Ascension, probably represent. He's probably a placeholder for a legend who might come back. You know what I mean? So I think it's just, I'm gonna say a figure of speech. How about that? How about that, Keith? I think that the 30 people on the stage, probably like 15 of them are placeholders for somebody else. I just think they wanted to give the visual of how many people Reigns would have to go through in the Rumble match. So. I don't think it was literally those 30 people on the stage, but if it is, it's gonna be a very interesting Rumble. Those are the 30 people, or 29 plus Reigns in the Rumble, but I don't think that's gonna be the case.
Okay. Let's see. Also, I was wondering what are the odds of Roman Reigns getting booed at the Royal Rumble? It sort of seems like they kind of set him up for failure a little bit. It's almost like Vince is doing it out of spite. Like, I'm going to make you like him, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make you like him at the place where you booed him last year. And I'm just wondering, is it going to turn out the way he wants?
That's a great question. Last year was Philadelphia. And it was, there were a lot of international fans there. So sort of the outspoken fans all kind of came together. There was a sense of Reigns being rejected by the audience going to the Rumble. It was sort of a statement against McMahon and his stubbornness going with Reigns to the Rumble winner. And so it was sort of a rejection of the machine's product. This year, there isn't as much of that, you know, because they got the positive reaction the night after TLC in Philadelphia when Reigns won the title. So some of that edge has kind of come off the anti-Reigns sentiment, whether it's because McMahon actually did not have Reigns win the title at WrestleMania last year, or it took a very long time for Reigns to actually win the title again. You know, all we're going to Survivor Series, and they dropped it to Survivor Series and won it back at... And after TLC a month later, So some of that anti-Reigns has cooled off. And then they're in Orlando. It's going to be more of a casual crowd, depending on how many international people fly in for the Rumble. That's going to be interesting to see sort of the secondary market and see if there's a big secondary market for Rumble tickets. That was the case with the Rumble last year in Philadelphia. There was a big secondary market. A lot of international people bought tickets and flew in. I need to track that for Orlando and see what kind of market see what the markets are like for tickets. But Orlando's more of a casual crowd. They wouldn't be as like anti-Reigns as say Philadelphia or New York or Chicago or something like that. And then the build up, they're trying to go really heavy on the underdog for Reigns, stack the deck, 1 vs. 29, the McMahons are opposite him, nobody likes the McMahon, so how can you not like Roman Reigns? And he hasn't like fallen on his face in this role. He's not good in the role. This doesn't fit him. But it's not like it's the last year where people are just tired of the big push. So it's different. So I don't think he'd be booed out of the building if he won. I think he would be cheered if he won the Rumble because of how much they've stacked the deck and made him the underdog or tried to. And so I think that's going to play into whatever reaction there is if he were to win the Rumble, which I'm predicting. Things can be different. It might depend on who the last person is that he eliminates, and so therefore they might put a heel that nobody wants to see win. And they might have Sheamus be the last guy in there and have Reigns eliminate Sheamus to win. Maybe that helps out, but I'd be very curious to see who he eliminate last, if indeed he does win the Rumble, as I'm predicting. Keith, I appreciate your call. Good call. Thanks for calling in. Let me get an email question. Darrell checked in with another email. He says, should we put anything into how much they've been promoting Finn Balor? Tonight they ran a big NXT spot going into commercial break about Balor. And is Finn the real future of WWE? Yes, I think he is the real future. And my antenna definitely went up when they had that spot for Finn Balor. Innocently plugging NXT, but I think that is leading into Finn Balor coming to the main roster, perhaps with the Balor Club, if you will, the playoff of the Bullet Club. I think he's coming up, if not the Royal Rumble, then very soon after the Rumble. They might try to hold off until WrestleMania, but I think that the Balor Club is the big angle to go with at the Rumble or the night after the Rumble, kind of going to WrestleMania season. So it seemed very innocent, the NXT plug, but I think there was something to that, definitely. Christian says, what are your wrestling resolutions for 2016? His is to look at his cell phone less during Raw. My wrestling resolution, I want to watch more videos of a lot of the streaming services that are out there. New Japan World, W Network, Chikara, MC Maryland Championship Wrestling. There's some other streaming services I'm missing, but I want to watch a wider variety of wrestling matches this year. I seem to only watch Raw because it's covering it and they're talking about it here in the post game show. WWE pay per views, TNA Impact. Of course, I don't have Pop TV on UVerse because Pop's not big enough, I guess, to be on UVerse yet. Not until March, I believe. So I've watched Impact Online, but watched the Ring of Honor shows, the pay-per-view. So I'm trying to watch more of the non-mainstream wrestling, just to kind of see what else is out there, who are the bigger stars, are going to come up the ranks. And I'll recommend anybody else, go find a good streaming service, whether you like Chikara or you want to watch New Japan World or W Network or whatever it is, find a streaming service or, WWN has a Roku channel, Evolve Brands, and go find a streaming service that you enjoy and really tap into that. And that's what I'm going to try to do in 2016 is watch more, watch a wider variety of wrestling than just WWE and TNA or Ring of Honor pay-per-views or New Japan pay-per-views. Let me wrap up with a three-pack of questions from our good friend Kylan out of New Jersey. He says, with John Cena being injured, will the process of AJ Styles being called up be expedited? I definitely think so. I don't know if, you know, like let's say if Cena was healthy, I still think that Styles being called up would be expedited. I think that they want Styles to be right on the main roster, whether that's in the Royal Rumble, whether that's after the Royal Rumble, whether it's after WrestleMania. If the deal goes through and everything's fine, all the medicals are cleared, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the whole process of being hired, I think that AJ will go right to the main roster, and he'll be part of a big impact going into WrestleMania season. I think that, again, they've got to come up with something big at the Rumble or right after the Rumble, kind of going to WrestleMania season. So I think AJ could be a big part of that. Also from Kylan, he says, will Vince McMahon continue to allow Morrow to deliver the strong commentary that he did on Thursday, or will Morrow eventually be forced into the cliche vacuum? As Greg Parks pointed out in his report, Morrow is already kind of doing the, we have a new champion, oh, kick out. He had that moment. He only had one or two moments, though, on SmackDown, so not like Cole, who has three or four. But Morrow already kind of has that bad habit being pumped into him. But I think they'll kind of let Morrow be Morrow for the most part. Now, I guess, Kyle, we should check it back in 2 months and see what the commentary sounds like on SmackDown. But I think Morrow's going to be Morrow, and they're going to let him be himself. You know, eventually they'll probably try to, you know, incorporate a little bit more of the WWE machine-like presentation of wrestling and, you know, take a little bit of this away and take a little bit of that away and homogenize and make it more uniform with Michael Cole. But I think Morrow will stand out from Cole. Over time, I think that still will be the case. It might not be as much as we saw week one or heard week one. If Morrow was a 7, I was saying 8. If he was an 8 out of 10 of what we know him to be, you know, kind of scaling back a 2 out of 10, I think we'd be happy with 6 out of 10. You know, I think 7 out of 10 would be ideal because there will inevitably be some of that homogenizing of his voice and his commentary. But if we can get a 6 or a 7 over time consistently, I think that's good. You know, that's a good place to be. Maybe I just have really low expectations because I expect them to try to form him into their image of what announcers should sound like. But I sure hope that Morrow kind of retains some of his individuality as an announcer. Kyle also asked, will TNA ever get 1 million viewers on Pop TV? Oh, boy. I'm going to say no. Pop's just not a big channel. I don't see it happening. You know, they started off with a 250,000. I just don't think that TNA has enough star power, momentum, presence, notoriety. I think they've lost a lot of wrestling fans from the transition from Spike to Destination America, which people couldn't find, and now to Pop TV, which people also can't find or don't have access to. I think the realistic number is 500,000. If they can build a 500,000, I think that's a victory. You know, the problem is that the Pop president came out before TNA was even on their channel, talking about wanting to get to 1.3 million viewers and building from that. They've got a million more to go. You know, if you combined the original and replay shows, you know, they're right there about 300,000 viewers. They got to get a million more viewers. I don't know where we're going to find those people, you know, because WWE can't even retain their own viewers right now. So I don't know where they're coming up with that idea, but I'd say a realistic goal is half of that, Kyle, and I would say 500,000. If TNA get into 500,000 on Pop, I think that's a victory. And then if they can maintain that, that's another victory. But right now, I don't see them being able to get to a million viewers without something drastic happening in the marketplace. That will do it for me on today's show. Going to be back on the show after missing last Monday's post-game show. I'll be back next Monday with Pat McNeil, and then Greg and I will have the post-game show after the Royal Rumble on the 24th. Tomorrow's livecast, Wade Keller, Jason Powell, ProWrestling.net, right back here at PWTorchLivecast.com at 5 o'clock Eastern, taking your phone calls and emails, and that should be a fun show with Wade and Jason, as, of course, they also have to be consoled after what happened to the Vikings on Sunday. Man, like last weekend was great. All of our Torch staff teams like won divisions. It was awesome sports last weekend and this weekend. This past 3 or 4 days has been dreadful for our sports team, just dreadful. So tune in. Help out Jason and Wade. Y'all be nice to them tomorrow. You know, their field goal kicker missed the easiest field goal of his life to lose a playoff game on Sunday. So, y'all be nice. Console Wade and Jason. Bring presents. Bring fun. Bring good phone calls. 5 Eastern right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And also be sure to console Pat on Wednesday as well after the Clemson Tigers lost tonight. So, y'all help them out on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then also Wade will be back on Thursday. So, help them out. Be nice. And bring good calls. We appreciate good calls. That's tonight's show. Thank you guys for calling. Thanks for emailing. And I will sign off here on behalf of pwtorchlivecast.com and Torch columnist Greg Parks. This is Torch Assistant Editor James Cotto signing off with Kids on Bridges playing us out.